Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to episode number 186 of The Functional Nerds. And John, from what I understand, your song about nerds arguing about ships or something is just like skyrocketing to the top of the charts.
Oh, not really, but we could talk a little.
Hey, I've seen a lot of buzz on Twitter about it. People are like really enjoying that song.
Oh, thanks. Well, thank you, Patrick. And that is Patrick Hester. And he is an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. And you can check out his website, atfmb.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at atfmb. And my name is John Anilio, and I am a composer and a songwriter. And you can check out my music, included the aforementioned Nerds Arguing About Spaceships, over at johnanilio.com. Yeah, that actually is, at this point, a pretty old song. That has been my opening song for about 2 or 3 years now, and I've never recorded it. It's one of those things where I think when you play something a lot live and you kind of have all this baggage with it now, and for me at least anyway, I'm afraid of screwing it up. It's like, oh, people are kind of expecting this one now that have seen me live, and I better not do a shitty job with it. And finally, I've kind of changed the way I do things, and I try to make it about process now, and I'm always got like 5 or 6 things I'm working on, and I finally like, well, let's just start working on this one and let's not get in our head about it. And the other thing I'm doing is I'm sort of posting works in progress. So it's not even really done yet. This is just an acoustic version of it. I'm actually working on adding a full version of it too.
And I prefer the acoustic stuff. You know, well, a lot of times the produced stuff, you know, it's like, oh, I don't really want the drums here. I just like the guitar.
Well, I am very aware of that. And I'm aware of that as a listener too, because I have certain artists that I don't, like, I like their produced stuff fine, but especially if they're coming, so sort of the more folk singer-songwritery people that I like, there's a guy named Peter Mulvey who I like. He makes really good records that have, you know, bass and drums and electric guitars and all that, and that stuff all sounds good, but he's done a couple live albums of just him and his acoustic guitar, and then he did just, like, one album, because I guess he would get the same thing from his fans, where like they were like, hey, man, I just want you and your guitar. I don't want any other stuff. And so he actually went through his like whole catalog and did, I mean, he doesn't have like radio hits, but he just basically went through and picked like 20 songs from his catalog and just like recorded them like 1 week in a studio of just him and his guitar. And that's my favorite album of his.
Well, so. And if you remember, one of my favorites that I kind of turned you on to not long ago was Stills Alive or Stills Alone.
Oh, yeah,
Stephen
yeah,
Stills, the just Stephen sitting there playing thing, yeah. his playing his guitar and singing. That's one of my mm-hmm. favorites. Another one of my favorites is Tim Reynolds and Dave Matthews live at Luther College. Just mm-hmm. the two of them sitting there playing guitar.
Yeah, I'm always sort of torn and about with what to do, because what I can play well, and because I had so many years of doing solo gigs, part of the things that I do when I play, and I think a lot of good singer, songwriter, guitar players sort of take this thing, and I did a lot of cover songs at one point too. And so when I would do cover songs, I wouldn't just try to do the guitar part. Like I would try to add bass parts and keyboard parts. Mm-hmm. And like I would try to play as much of the arrangement as I could and just add kind of my own thing to it too. I would sort of start from trying to mimic the other things on the record. But then after a while, I would just be like, well, I'm doing it a different, you know, I'm doing it this way. But then the next thing you know, it becomes this whole other thing. And I love that. Like, I love other artists who do that, and I like that about what I do. But I also love adding all the instruments and doing all sorts of different stuff.
So this is what we need. This is what we need. If you are a person who's in charge of your local con, or you can influence the person in charge of your local con, you need to invite the functional nerds to come to your con, and mm-hmm. we'll do a bunch of podcasting stuff. You know, we'll do a ton of interviews. Mm-hmm. We'll promote the hell out of your convention. And John will play live. John will do a live concert, and we'll record the live concert so John can have his live concert album, which will also promote your convention. All you have to do is you have to invite us and like make us part of the con experience, you know, and help us out a little bit with funding, and we'll come there and we'll just blow the roof off that mother.
Yeah, well, and there's not really, you know, I'm sure there are, but there's not that many New Jersey cons that I can think of. The New Jersey con, because like we're right near New York and Philadelphia.
Well, see, I think now you need like, to come this way. We need to meet halfway. Yeah. So you need to come this way a little bit, and I'll go that way a little bit. We'll meet somewhere in the middle. That con will benefit from the functional nerds, you know, invading.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm down with that. I'm totally down with that. But yeah, but any, but so I'm gonna make this acoustic version available because I kind of like it just like that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna have that available too, and then I'm gonna release. That's the thing. I'm trying not to be so precious about any of this stuff anymore. Just be like, well, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm doing, and here's this, and then here's this, and that. You know, I'm reading a book called. Oh, I should probably recommend that. I didn't finish reading it yet though. It's called Show Your Work. It's by this guy Austin Kleon. And his thing is basically like in today's day and age, you know, we have this idea of the writer or the musician or the painter as being like this solitary genius that is just slaving away and like, no, you can't see what I'm doing because it's going to be genius. And then, you know, after 3 years of working on it, then they release it into the world. And I've always kind of ascribed to that kind of thinking. And I've been reading this book and it kind of makes sense to me. It's like a lot of the people who are very successful in the arts these days share their work. They literally kind of share, not necessarily like posting manuscript pages every day, but some people do that even too, yep. You know, but they're kind of sharing it stuff as they're working on it. So I've been doing that the past couple of weeks. I've been stuff that's nowhere near done, just being like, hey, here's the first minute of this and putting it out there. And it's more because I know there are some people, particularly musician-y people, but also just creative people who are friends on Twitter and Facebook who like that kind of stuff, who just like sort of seeing what people are working on. And so it's been really, I've been enjoying it. Like I've been enjoying the feedback from people, not necessarily like, oh yeah, change this and this, but just sort of opening up the creative process a little bit. I've always been like, oh, I don't want people to see. It's not good yet. Like, let me, but I'm just like, you know what? Who cares? Like, these are the people that like stuff and we'll just take it from there. So it's been fun. So that's why I did it. Yeah.
But
when you think of some people who are pretty successful, you think of like, you know, all like the big blogger people who have like, they're kind of sharing what they're working on. They're pretty much telling you what they're doing as they're doing it, you know? So anyway, I can show up there, Patrick.
So our listeners right now are probably wondering, you know, who our guest is today. And they don't know yet, unless they actually looked at the tag on iTunes or on the website, that there is no guest today. This is a John and Patrick show.
Yeah. We plan on doing these like once a month.
And how well has that plan worked out, John? How well has it worked out?
Not well, and I'll tell people why it doesn't work. It's because what we do is because we batch record on a Saturday. I always book three guests for a Saturday with the idea that, and we'll record a fourth episode, just the two of us after it. And Patrick and I never want to do it.
No, because like, by the time we're done, we're like, oh.
We're tied down with the other three. We're just like, oh, I'm done. I'm done. That was a lot of talking. I don't feel like talking now. So it kind of worked out with the way our scheduling for the shows that we were going to end up being a week. We were going to have to skip a week. So we decided to record just one today, just the two of us, and then kind of get back on a regular schedule. But you know, you will see more of these pop up here and there, maybe not every month, but you will see them, and we enjoy doing them. So we hope you enjoy listening to just Patrick and I, and not just the high level authors and other folks that we have on the show sometimes. So there you go.
So there you go. So John, what's up? What's new? What's going on? How are you doing?
Well, just kind of explained a lot of it.
other than that, what's going on?
Oh,
you're older now. Are you wiser?
Oh, not really. Well, a little bit. Yeah. I think the age of 39 for me was a bit of a crisis year just in terms of, you know, like not like a midlife crisis. I didn't go out and buy a Corvette or anything, but
I'm glad just, because you know how you can tell if a guy is a dick?
How's that?
He drives a Corvette.
Yeah, don't you have a Corvette?
No.
Oh, You had like a Camaro or something for a while, right?
I do have
right?
a Camaro, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought so. So that's you can't be of Italian background and drive a Camaro in New Jersey. You can't. No. You can't do it. That really paints you in a certain light that I. But anyway, no, I just, you know, I'm in a pretty good place creatively right now where I'm really happy with where. That I'm just doing that, like what I just said before, that I'm just kind of making it part of my everyday and not being so hung up on making things perfect and not being so hung up on where I'm at with things. And what's kind of funny is that, you know, it's one of those things where I can't really talk about it yet, but I'm now kind of getting into where people are kind of offering me opportunities to do stuff that I would have killed for 2 years ago. But I was just so nonchalant about doing this stuff over the past couple of months that someone's like, hey, you want to do this? And I'm like, and I almost turned it down because I'm just like, nah, I'm not really into that. And then I'm just like, you know, maybe I'll do that. But I'll let you know more about that once it becomes a little more official. But it's a pretty cool thing. And I'm pretty excited about it because it was one of the things that I kind of wanted to do when I wanted to get into all this stuff. So
cool.
But how about you? What are you up to, Patrick?
Well, I actually turned down a producing gig for another podcast.
Right, you told me about that. Yeah,
yeah. I just there's not enough time.
Well, right, you know. And I was talking to I forget who I was talking to about this, but someone recently, and we're talking about. I think I had mentioned, you know, what we're going to end up talking about as our main thing today to somebody, and I was like, yeah, it doing a podcast takes a lot of work, and Patrick does most of that work, all the, you know, editing and. Putting it up and I'm like, you know, and with ours, at least with Functional Nerds, and I imagine to a certain extent with SF Signal, we have a pretty good format now, and we, you know, our connection is a little more like what in the early days Skype used to crap out every mm-hmm. 5 minutes. You know, we have some problems with that sometimes depending on people's connections, but it's much, much better than it used to be. So in terms of editing and everything, I know you have a real system where you could do it much faster than you yes. did when you first did it. But I know when you do other podcasts, like when you do MERS, I know there's a lot more editing that goes on yes. in that, and it takes a lot more time.
The difference is that I'm multitasking as we're recording and chatting. So as we're chatting, we're talking to our guests, we're recording, we're doing the episode. I have pen and paper. And mm-hmm. I have my little as I'm recording, I'm seeing timestamps. And so as things come up, I just mark them down. I mark down a timestamp. And mm-hmm. so if I notice the most editing problems I have is, like, let's say that someone's saying a lot and they might want cut out. So that means I have to go through and listen to the whole episode again. Mm-hmm. But if it's pretty smooth and pretty good, then all I have to do is my timestamps. Then I go backwards. From the end of the episode, I just work my way back to the beginning, and I go to each timestamp and I edit it out, and it makes it a lot quicker. Then I only have to do one quick listen through. But I can't do that on podcasts that I was not a part of when they were being recorded.
Yeah.
So with Mer, for example, she will record an episode, and she does a lot of ums, ands, buts, and then she also does a lot of really long pauses. Because she's looking stuff up as she goes, and she just hits record and she goes. And I trim all of that down to the, you know, 20 or 30 minutes of her talking. You know, so it could be an hour long podcast that she's recorded, but I trim it down to 20 minutes. But in order to do that, I have to listen to the whole thing.
Well, so, I was just thinking what I need to do now is you need to start saving all of my, you knows, and you need to start saving all of Mer's ums and all the other different weird sounds that me and our various guests have had. And then I'll just do like a really sweet remix, you know, like a dance, you know, yeah.
There does exist possibly. Maybe a version of the girl from Ipanema. Mm-hmm. That may have or may not have been sung by someone that we know who has threatened death You know,
didn't that go live on a podcast?
No, it didn't go live on a podcast.
Oh, then you just played it for me. And it is hilarious. Play it for you.
Yeah. I played it for the person as well, and the person was not amused. So, but yeah, I basically took their version of The Girl from Ipanema, and I did lay it over actual song and music and you know, did this whole production kind of version of it. But yeah, I've thought about doing stuff like that, and it's just so much work that I haven't done.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so...
You see those kind of mashups on YouTube and you're like,
that's a lot of work.
It's a lot. Like people don't realize because they just think, oh, you just mash them. It's like, it's cool. Like the reason why we share all that stuff on various social media is because it is a lot of work. I saw one the other day that was amazing. It was an audio and a video mashup of Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills and the Monkees. I think it was... I forget which Monkey song it was now, but what was crazy was that they mashed up the video too. And I don't know how the guy did it, whoever did the mashup, because nowadays, if you do mashups with new stuff, you can find those like acapella tracks and it makes it a lot easier, but I'm sure he did not have access to the acapella tracks of the Iron Maiden and Monkey songs. So he had to like filter out the entrance and that's what you could do with those things. But that's hard to do. And usually you get a weird sound to the vocals when you have to EQ out other stuff. So I don't know how he did it, but it sounds amazing because it's basically Bruce Dickinson singing the whole time over the Monkees playing. But it's really funny because they're intercutting the video. So you see the Maiden guys like really rocking out, but you just hear like ding, 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 ding. It's just put Iron Maiden Monkees mashup into YouTube and you'll find it. It's so great. And then they like put the guitar solo from the Iron Maiden song over the Monkees backing tracks. You just hear like his ripping metal solo like over ding, 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 ding. And then they mix in the Monkees background vocals underneath. It's great. I don't know how the guy did it. It's amazing though.
Yeah,
it's really
some of those mashups are good. There's been some what's the word I'm looking for? Approved and authorized mashups. Let's say it that way. So for example, I like Rapture Writers, which is it's song by Blondie, Rapture. But it's the Doors singing Riders on the Storm. And I like to play that for people because they go, oh, Blondie. And then as soon as Morrison starts singing, their jaw hits the floor because it's so perfectly done. But yeah, anyway, also, what have I been up to? I've been up to nothing. My blog is stale and stagnant. I haven't been doing anything there. And I've decided in April to change that. So April is going to be a post every day on my blog.
All right.
And I know they're not all going to be great. They're not all going to be wonderful, you know, works of art, but there's going to be a blog post there every day in April. Try to get me back into blogging again.
Yeah, I really admire the people that can do that because I'm very hot and cold with blogging myself where I think like, yeah, I'm going to do a really good post once a week. And I did that for a while and it was good. And then you miss a week and then you miss 2 weeks and you're like, is anybody really reading it that much? Do I really need to put all the work into that? You know, and then you, next thing you know, you've gone 2 months and there's been nothing on your blog. And I know I've just sort of sharing my works in progress. That's been what my blog has been about lately, where I put up a new snippet of a tune and I just put that on my blog. And that's about the extent of what my blogging has been lately. And, you know, like you see somebody like Chuck Wendig, who's said he was scaling back, and I guess he has, but he still seems pretty damn active to me. He's still got a bunch of – I mean, I guess he used to do one every day, and maybe now it's 3 times a week or something. But, he, you know, and his posts are always – I mean, he does where he has guest posts and things too, but, you know, he still does those like 25. I mean, he scaled those back, I know, and, you know, so someone like that, I'm so impressed with because I know how much work goes into that. And then you look, I mean, and Chuck's a great novelist too, but you see the influence that he has now. I mean,
oh yeah.
Guy's got, is he at like 30,000 followers? He's got a lot though. He's really, and for good reason. And I love Chuck. So I think he's someone that we should all aspire to be like, especially the swearing, but you know, well, and the beards.
And I get to hang out with him at the end of the month. So,
oh yeah, that is that the Pikes Peak thing?
Yeah, the Pikes Peak Writers Conference. Yeah, yeah. No, that's coming up. It's the end of April.
Cool.
And it's in Colorado Springs, and he'll be there. Gail Carriger will be there. Jim Hines will be there. And I'm doing some stuff for SF Signal, and actually for I Should Be Writing. I pitched some ideas to Murr on I Should Be Writing, and she said she's willing to host a couple of interviews if I wanted to do them, you know, I Should Be Writing style. So I'm going to try to do that as well.
Neat.
And cool. Yeah, so that'll be the end of the month. I'm looking forward to that because they also – there is a – so there's Pikes Peak Writers, and then there's something called Delve Writing. And Delve is run by someone who used to be like the president of Pikes Peak Writers, and now she's got this other company thing with a friend of hers, and it's called Delve. And they put on writing workshops and do different stuff. And they asked me, they're going to have it's like how Locus and Sifo and different one have suites at Worldcon. Mm-hmm. They've got a room at Pikes Peak Writers where they're going to be doing Delve stuff. And they asked me if I would be willing to do a Scrivener class for them.
Mm.
And so I said, sure. So I'm also going to be teaching or doing like a Q&A or something on Scrivener in this Delve room at Pikes Peak Writers. So I'm looking
forward
cool. to that
too. That's cool. It's all coming together, Patrick. That's like all you know, it's really good. I mean, that's something that because you like Scrivener so much and you've talked so much about it and written so many posts about it, you know, you're one of the poster boys for it, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's something that if you want to go to other cons and things, that's something that you should definitely look into doing, doing panels and stuff on that. You know?
Well, I get at least 3 or 4 new followers a week who come to me on Twitter by finding my Scrivener posts.
Yeah.
And, that's, you know, great. Asking me questions. So, yeah, Scrivener has been kind to me.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. Cool. Well, that's great. Well, do you, excuse me, want to get on to our picks of the week?
Yes.
Picks of the week.
All right. I will go first this week with our picks of the week. And I'm going to pick, I actually picked this once quite a while ago, but I'm picking it again because it's season 2 that I've been watching. And that is The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It is a cartoon that is on Netflix. And unfortunately, there is only 2 seasons. It was canceled after the second season. They
did a whole new show.
Yeah, they did a whole new show, which I haven't seen that at all yet. And yeah, from the scuttlebutt that I read on the internet, everyone loved Earth's Mightiest Heroes, so they were just sort of predisposed to not like the new one. But I just read a lot of like sort of begrudgingly like, it's pretty good too. Like the new one's pretty good too, but I haven't seen the new one. I've only seen
I think the new one's called Avengers Assemble or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know what, I don't even know what channel it's on or anything. It's
I don't know either. It's gotta be
a Disney one, probably like Disney XD or something.
Yeah, XD.
Yeah, that must be it. But it's funny because I watched season 1 of this a year or two ago, whenever it like first came on Netflix, and I loved it. I ate it up. And I think it came out before the Avengers movie came out, which was one of the reasons why I was interested in watching it. And it took a while for the second season to come on, and I had gone on and watched a lot of other things. Then the second season popped up, I don't know, a while ago now, at least 6 months ago. And I wasn't really in the mood to watch it or to watch a cartoon or anything. And so I would sort of watch like half an episode here and half an episode there. And I've been doing that and watching other things. And finally, over the past week or two, I just started, you know, cramming the episodes and getting really into it again. And it's really well done, and I think it's what I've kind of said a lot about a lot of the modern cartoons. We look back on our youth, and I'm 40 now, so if you're anywhere in that age range and you think of the cartoons that you liked, you know, let's take G.I. Joe, for instance, and we have really fond memories of that, and if you watch those now, a lot of those episodes don't really hold up very well from a storytelling point of view. At least they didn't really have a big storyline or anything like that. And something like Avengers Assemble is kind of what we remember something mm-hmm. like G.I. Joe being like, but it's actually good. It's actually a story from beginning to end, big arcs, balancing the characters too, because they, in season 2, they actually, like, Spider-Man is on a couple of episodes, and
oh yeah, well, they did Did they do crossovers with Spider-Man Unlimited or Ultimate Spider-Man? They did something because they also had the characters on Spider-Man Unlimited. But I don't know if it was I don't know if they were actually from Earth's Mightiest Heroes or if they just brought them in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't it didn't feel like a crossover to me. It seemed like this was an episode where they're in Manhattan and Spider-Man just happens to show up.
Well, not everybody realizes that Spidey was like an honorary member of the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the
they tried to recruit him.
Yeah, that's the one episode. I don't know if you've seen Earth's Mightiest Heroes, but they had the one episode where they had sort of the new Avengers where the core Avengers are sort of out of it and thought to be dead. And so they have like the new Avengers, which ends up being Spider-Man and Wolverine, which Wolverine was an Avenger too. Where I think still, I don't know. I've been so out of the comics that I don't even know where he's at this point, but I know he was an Avenger. And in this one, it was like Luke Cage and Iron Fist and War Machine. And so they really are kind of faithful to having different, you know, like they draw from the whole, you know, all the different characters that they could have on it. And I like it because of that. So, and so they really have a pretty big cast, but they have episodes where they sort of focus more on a handful and some are in the periphery, but overall just a really well done. I have two or three episodes left to watch and I dig it. So if you have Netflix, it's on there and totally worth watching. So what is your pick this week, Patrick?
Well, the problem is now I have something stuck in my head.
Okay.
We fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe, a real American hero. Remember that whole?
Of course. Well, and I would say with those with that show, the like they'd have like a five-parter to start the season. Mm-hmm. And those episodes were always great. And then there would be some that were not as great.
And you know why there was a five-parter?
Why is that?
So they could release it as a movie on VHS.
Oh. Yeah, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even thought about that.
Mm-hmm. But remember Serpentor?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do.
Zartan and his biker gang?
Oh, yeah.
They were the Sons of Anarchy before there was Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, and I remember a couple years ago, I don't know why I got it. I ended up... I think I got it from the library. It was like some sort of like toy catalog or something. Don't ask me why I got it. It must have been when I was like sort of revisiting G.I. Joe or something. They had all the toys that were like, so by the time the last couple of years that they were putting the toy out, I was a little old by then. I was into middle school. So I wasn't really into it. But I sort of remember seeing it. Like they basically took vehicles from like they took G.I. Joe vehicles, made them Cobra vehicles, but gave them a different paint color and vice versa. And they sort of did that with some of the characters. So they sort of reused molds and just like repainted them. But then there was all this like weird stuff too, where it was like weird experimental, like the Cobra Law, where they actually were snakes, like are half snake. Weird crap.
You got to understand, my friends, I didn't realize you could even do this, but I made some friends and who ended up being friends for forever, and we're still friends to this day. But anyway, these guys figured out that you could take the G.I. Joes apart. Mm-hmm. There's a little screw in their back, right? And you can take them apart. And so what they would do is they would take their G.I. Joes apart and they would mix and match different things. So you would have, you know, Zartan's chest with Cobra Commander's head and different arms and legs. So they would kind of make these hybrid guys, which I always thought was kind of interesting. I didn't know because I never had braces. Mm-hmm. And so when mine would break, the little rubber band inside would break. That was it. Mm-hmm. They were broken. But no, these guys had braces. And so they had the little tiny little rubber bands that you use for your braces. And they would take those and they would fix their G.I. Joes. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't know you could do any of this crap. So anyway.
Now, I was not a hacker in that way. I try to keep my toys like what they looked like. I didn't know. But I admire people who do that for sure.
So my pick this week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set the stage here for you, John. You get invited out with friends, you and your wife, you go and you're at a bar and you're having drinks, you're having like some of the bar food, you know, you get your wings and everything and there's live music there. And so it's a decent band and you're enjoying the music and waiter or waitress comes by and says, "Hey, do you want anything else?" And you're like, "No, let's go ahead and close me out." And so they say, okay, they bring you over a receipt, you hand them your credit card, they go off, they come back with the one that you filled out all the information on. And on there is, you know, here's your total, here's your tip for your server. Mm-hmm. Live music tip is another line.
Ooh.
And then total. And then your wow. signature. Have you seen this?
I have not.
I think this is awesome.
You
now have
idea.
The ability at certain bars, not all of them yet, they haven't all adopted this yet, but there are bars who are adding a line to the bill, live tip for band.
That's a great idea.
Tip for live music, sorry. Live tip for band. Tip for live music. I think that's the line.
I haven't seen it, but that is probably also because not only do I not go out that much, but unfortunately in New Jersey, there's not a lot of live music in bars. They don't really. When I spent some time, when I went to that con in Texas a couple years ago, a couple of people I was hanging out with, we went out and we just went to, you know, whatever kind of bar-ish kind of place there was. And it was like more of a restaurant really than a bar. It was more like a Chili's or something like that.
Chili's, baby back ribs.
But it was a local chain, you know. It was like just in Texas, I think. And when I saw the band setting up, I'm like, wow, this is cool. There's a band here. Like, New Jersey doesn't have bands in places like this at all. And I'm like, how often do they have bands in a place like this? They're like, every night? Like, they're just like, we have music. And I'm like, oh, that's not like this. But I'll tell you what, when I picked this up from a guy when I was playing coffee shops a lot, I went and I got I did the same thing because I used to just put a tip jar. Because when you play coffee shops, the coffee shop may pay you a little bit, but not very much. They're not making much money to begin with. They don't really have much of a budget for live music.
Sure.
But, you know, so I'd do what everybody does. I'd put a tip jar out, and I always did okay with tips. But I got the idea from somebody because it was like a little bit of a restaurant-y sort of coffee shop place, this one place I used to play. And what I did was I used to put cups, sort of the same idea, that just said, you know, tips for musicians. But I would just bring my own cups and I'd put them out on the 20 tables. And I always killed that night. Like, I always made five times as much if I did that. Because what happens is when people would be paying their bill, they'd throw a dollar in or mm-hmm. whatever for if they liked you. So it just made it – because you know what I found with when you'd have to go to the tip jar, it's not that people wouldn't want to tip the musician. It's that you're adding literally extra steps to walk
right,
over.
Right,
but
right,
also
right.
But also I think people get a little weird and a little shy about like, I'm walking over and
yeah,
I'm going to
exactly.
put the tip jar and
yeah.
we're going to have an awkward interaction while you're
well,
playing.
And think about it, John. If you're yeah. the person doing that, if you're the tipper, when you get
yeah.
up and you start to walk over to put the money, the musician is watching you.
Yes.
They're watching you the whole way because they're like, oh, yes, yes, I can pay rent. I can pay rent.
Yeah.
I can pay rent. And so there is that eye contact and it is a little awkward.
Yeah.
But I think
yeah.
this is perfect. It's yeah, right
I
there.
Agree.
You could do it as part of your bar tab, you know, and you just sign it and boom, you've tipped your live music.
Yeah. Well, and then people can also yell out to the band. It's like, hey, man, how about you play Along the Watchtower and we get a little bit of a better tip going here. So you can sort of yell because that's a great idea.
Did I tell you about the time I went up to Breckenridge and I was up there with my cousin and her husband and their kids and we're in this place and this guy is playing blues and so that's why we went there is Mike and I both like blues and so we're there and this guy's playing and he's doing the thing where, you know, any song you want, any blues song, you tell me what it is and I'll play it. And so, you know, Mike is the guy who turned me on to Tab Benoit. So he starts shouting out Tab Benoit songs and the guy completely ignores him. And so I start, you know, I'm telling, you know, oh, what about this song? What, you drowning on dry land, Power of the Poncheron, you know, this, nothing. He's ignoring me. So we decide, one of the older girls, you know, we said, look, go up to him and suggest this song because he'll probably pay attention to you. Because you're a reasonably attractive young lady, you know, go up and talk to him. And so, yes, we totally sent her up there to do that. And she goes up there and she comes back and she's kind of blushing and she sits down and we said, what happened? And she said, well, he told me that I have really good taste and that he's not going to play anything by Tab Benoit. Because apparently it was too hard.
Yeah, he's yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there's tons of live music on this side. I mean, you see, that's
yeah.
what I'm saying. You need to come this way. We have tons.
Yeah.
Well, what about the pictures that I sent you on Twitter not too long ago? I was watching a band. They ended up being like a what were they? They were it's not country, it's not blues, it's
like R&B, soul kind of
bluegrass
stuff?
I'm sorry, bluegrass.
Okay.
And yeah. They end up being a bluegrass band, and there's a guy there who had a homemade essentially a banjo. Mm-hmm. But he called it a cigar box.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw when you tweeted that or put that on Facebook or whatever. Yeah, that was cool.
He had a Colorado license plate was the face plate of his quote-unquote cigar box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of eclectic stuff we have here, John. You just need to come to Colorado.
Yeah. No, we don't. Yeah, we don't have any of that stuff here. Yeah, well, okay, well, I'll come. It settles it. I'm coming.
Mile High Con. Mile High Con.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would like to get out there, but that's cool. But anyway, so we've been doing a lot of just sort of random chatting, but we actually did have a main topic today that we would like to talk a little bit about. King of the segues, Patrick.
No, I didn't.
But that is, Patrick and I, we've been doing the podcast for, well, now it's going to be coming up on 5 years. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to 200 shows. And we've always done it because we like doing it. And the podcast has served Patrick and I well. A lot of whatever sort of name that we have in the community for our own individual artistic pursuits and other things, I think a lot of it can be traced back to us deciding to do this podcast together. I think a lot of the opportunities that have come our way have come because of this. So we've always done it just thinking that way. It's like, wow, it's really cool that we get to talk to Lev Grossman and, Timothy Zahn and Kevin J. Anderson and all the people that I would just consider kind of friends at this point too, because they were sort of coming up as we were coming up in a lot of ways too. So, we just like doing the podcast for doing it. We've had ads a handful of times. We had, what was that company that was doing ads with us? I don't even remember their name. It's Map something. I don't know.
I remember the one you're talking about.
We did that for maybe 3 or 4 episodes. We've had a couple people, independent authors run ads. We don't have a problem with running ads. Like, we just haven't really done it. And,
it's not something we pursue.
Yeah, it's not something we pursue. I'm sure if Patrick and I really pounded the pavement and tried to get some ad dollars in here, we could probably run ads every show and make a couple bucks running the show. But I don't know. We just, when we did run them, they were okay, but it doesn't feel great to us. And so then when Kickstarter became all the rage a couple of years ago, we'd seen some podcasts do Kickstarter and we thought about that briefly. And it's like, well, that doesn't really make any sense because a Kickstarter seems to work for if you're doing a big project, whether you're doing a book or an album or a movie. That's what Kickstarter is good for. And I'd seen some podcasts do it where they're like, well, we'll do a Kickstarter for a season of the podcast, but we don't really have seasons. We do the show every week. That's it. So Kickstarter didn't really make sense. And really for a Kickstarter to work, you'd need to have all these sort of rewards and things. And it's like, well, I don't know, how much work is that going to be in terms of putting that together? And then what do we do? Because
right.
You can't just do a Kickstarter every 6 months. That doesn't really make sense.
And if I remember correctly, you didn't care for my reward structure, which was, if we hit like $1,000, you would go to their house and wash their car.
Yeah.
And if we hit $2,000, you'd wash their car and play a song for them. And if we hit 3,000, you'd do a concert in their living room. So I was pretty much putting it all on you, and you were just like, "Come on!"
There's a lot of manual labor that was going to be coming from me.
Yeah, hey, I was really really impressed because I thought it would have been great if we had hit the $25,000 mark, and your father-in-law had to come in and redo all the electrical in the house for the person.
Yeah, that's my dad. That's actually the electrical.
Oh, your dad. Yeah. I just thought that was a great reward, but you were like, no, I can't ask him.
Nah, he doesn't like working on the side. He's more of a union guy, So no, but so we always just like, nah, we're not going to do that. That doesn't really make sense for us. And quite honestly, like I will tell you before we even launch into this, Patrick and I, we've seen a lot of really successful crowdfunding things. And I always feel like some people are at a place in their careers where they should be running them. And some people maybe aren't ready to do it yet and they run them anyway. And so I think we've always been very sort of hesitant to do anything like a Kickstarter, but something that has come up over the past couple of months is a new crowdfunding platform. It's called Patreon. It's a Patreon. Patreon, I guess it's .com. And Patreon was started by the guy, I don't even know if you knew this, Patrick. I don't think I mentioned this to you. The guy that started it is one half of Pomplamoose, which is that they're kind of YouTube stars, Pomplamoose. They're a musical act. It's one guy and one girl, and they did a lot of covers, like really interesting covers where they were sort of, and they do their own original songs too, but they got millions and millions of views for their covers, like did like weird Lady Gaga covers and things, and the guy and the girl play all the instruments and they sing and they sound awesome, and the videos are so good because they really know how to edit video. So it'd just be like in one scene you see the dude like wailing on the drums, and the next one he's playing the guitar, and then the girl's playing the bass, and then there you see like five of her heads singing the harmony. So mm-hmm. it's just like really well done. So
it's like the Peter Holland stuff where he's singing yes. all the different parts, and on your mm-hmm. screen you see 10 different versions of him because it's 10 different parts that he's singing all at the same time.
Exactly like that. Pomplamoose yeah. were really sort of the pioneers in doing that. They started doing that 5-6 years ago, and I think it's called sort of a lot because like not a lot of editing. Like they would just go through and sort of play the parts straight through. Like, so when you're seeing them play, they're not miming. That's them actually playing it for the first time. Like, so nice. It's sort of almost live, but it's over. But anyway.
And John, I just want you to understand this is not an emergency, but I am out of coffee. Go ahead.
Okay. I haven't even had my coffee yet. So we're going to, so I'm right there with you. But, so he started this because, you know, they've made a little bit of money doing it because they got to do like a car commercial then, and they started touring, but you know, so his idea was that he would create this thing with another business partner where people could sort of be his patron. So anytime he put a new video out, because, you know, like kind of with the way music works between Spotify and everything else, it's people don't necessarily buy music, but he has enough, and Pomplamoose in general has enough big fans that want to support them so they can keep making music and making their videos. So anytime he puts a video out, people automatically donate $1 to $20 or whatever. There's like different
yeah,
points that people
consider. Essentially people put a tip amount.
Yes.
And they're willing to give this every month if you produce content every month.
Yeah.
And so you have all these people pitching in, they're all tipping you. And mm-hmm. when you produce your content, then the people who have pledged funds, get charged that amount, and then it goes off to the artist.
Mm-hmm. So because it's an ongoing thing, and because to make a long story short, we're thinking we're going to do this. We would like your feedback on it, though. You know, so you can, I imagine most of you that listen to the show probably follow Patrick and I on Twitter and Facebook. You can contact us that way. You can, in the show notes for this episode, just go to functionalnerds.com. Like, give us your feedback. Is this something you'd like to see us do? It's basically going to be where we're going to set up a page over at Patreon. And I don't know if it's every time you put a podcast out or if it's once a month. I don't know if you have the option for how much you want to do it, but you can pledge an amount. We have some people that we have a little PayPal tip jar on the side of the site, and some people have been very generous over the years and will, you know, slap us a bunch of money once in a while and send us a note saying like, hey, I listen to the podcast every week. You don't charge anything. Consider this my annual subscription to the Functional Nerds.
Right.
So,
we use that because we pay for hosting. Mm-hmm. John pays for the hosting on the audio files. Mm-hmm. I pay for the hosting on the website stuff. I pay for the renewals on the website stuff. And mm-hmm. I pay for Skype, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize that I pay for Skype. I pay for mm-hmm. it just simply because in order to call people, and sometimes the folks that we want to interview here on SF Signal are the older, you know, SF authors, and they aren't necessarily, it's kind of funny. It's almost ironic, John. The mm-hmm. you know, these science fiction authors don't like technology.
I know, and they
want us to call them on a landline or a cell phone because they don't want to set up Skype. They don't want to do the computer stuff. So rather than pay a per minute charge for that, I just pay a flat rate. Mm-hmm. So we do have a few costs that we do, and that's not even counting our time at all. You know, we're just talking about the hard costs.
Right.
When people donate stuff, we pay those bills. That's mm-hmm. all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and I want to put it this way too. We're going to keep doing the show.
Yes.
I don't want anybody to think like we're trying to extort money from them. No. or it's like a, you know, a PBS or an NPR kind of thing. Like, you know, you get this free content. Like,
and see, I flashed on The Simpsons in the episode where a Homer actually calls up and pledges $1 million or something just to get him shut up. Yeah. And then they want the money and he doesn't want it. And so all the PBS characters are chasing him.
Oh, yes.
And
I remember
he
that.
He runs
one.
into the church with Reverend Lovejoy, you know, screaming, "Sanctuary, sanctuary." And then the trash can comes flying in and out comes Oscar the Grouch and Elmo. And Elmo goes, "Elmo knows where you live."
Yeah, I totally remember that. But so it's not going to be like that. It's, you know, we're going to do the show anyway. It's what we're doing. But, you know, like Patrick said, we do have out of pockets. Like, in essence, it costs us to do this show. We don't make anything. It costs us money to do the show. And we like doing it. And like I said, we've both benefited from doing the show. But because we've been so consistent with it, we've missed a week here and there, but really for almost 5 years now, we've done a show a week and we get all the, you know, we're trying to add a little more technology to the show now, but for the run that we've had, you know, we've had just about every major science fiction and fantasy author on. And I know there are other shows that do that, but we do it and we've done it pretty damn consistently. And I think I would hope that some of you value that and would be interested and willing to pledge. Now, you don't have to pledge very much. I mean, you can be, if it's per month, you know, you could do $1 a month or you could do $5 a month. You know, part of what we're doing is if you go to Patreon.com and you check out, and hopefully we'll have our page set up soon, maybe not by the time you hear this, but hopefully soon, you know, there you can have sort of Kickstarter like rewards, and Patrick and I have talked about different things that we would do. I don't know what we're going to do yet.
But for example, you know, we could possibly let people watch us record. You know, we're doing stuff on Google Hangouts now. We could post the link and let people, you know, actually come in and see them live and see the whole thing.
That was what I was thinking. Like the one major reward is like, hey, sit in. You know, you could sit there and listen to us and watch while we interview one of the authors that you like or one of the people that you like. And, you know, I'm sure if you pledge at a lower amount, you know, maybe you could just get like a little producer credit where we mention your name at the end of every show or something. Like there'll be little things like that. Maybe you have an idea. You're like, hey, I'll give you $20 a month if you do this, you know. So, you know, we want your feedback because we've been able to do the show for a long time because we look at our download numbers and I'm always surprised that many people listen to the show. I'm like, I don't know who's listening. And I always get tweets from people and Facebook stuff from people that I don't really know that well that say, hey, good show this week. And I'm like, thanks. I'm glad you like it. Like I, you know, so I know there are some of you out there and who I think would be interested in this. So let us know your feedback so we can maybe put it together, you know, because we have some ideas for like these little kind of rewards and let us know because I think it's something that would benefit because it would certainly, you know, Patrick and I have had other ideas for the show, but because we're busy with other things as well, we don't often follow through on some of our other ideas that we have because we have enough other stuff going on. Well, guess what? If we start making a decent chunk of change from a Patreon account, well, guess what? You're probably going to start seeing more of those things because we'll be a little more invested, pardon the pun, in the show because it's like, hey, this is putting, you know, X amount in our account every month. Let's do this and let's do this and let's do this. So there's lots of other stuff we can do that if we're making a couple of bucks, then we'll probably do it.
Oh, I just had a great idea. We could have one of the reward levels, like if we get like X amount of dollars, we'll do the barbecue episode. We've been talking about the barbecue episode for 4.5 years almost. We could make that like a reward. Yes, we'll have people on. We'll talk about barbecue.
And if we get to a certain amount, we'll throw a barbecue. You can come. It's Patrick's house is around the barbecue at Patrick's house. Yeah,
we'll go to
like World Fantasy or WorldCon or something.
Yeah, we'll go to World Fantasy and we'll have a barbecue.
All right, yeah. Well, at the you know, we'll set that for like the 20,000.
It's funny, John, because what I'm thinking about is how like I've been in several writing groups, and the one that I was in Colorado Springs, and one of the ones I'm in right now, you do have to pay to be part of the group, mm-hmm. and there's hardly any overhead in the group. So yeah. it's like, well, this is how much money we have. Hey, do we want to have a party? Do we want to have like a barbecue or something? And everybody's like, yeah, let's do that. And so that's what I just flashed on. It's like, hey, if we have money, we'll have a barbecue.
And I will tell you this just from selling my music online. The money is great to pay bills. And I have to say a lot of the money that I've made selling my music, you know, almost all of that goes back into stuff that I use for music. Like I recently got a new computer and I got, you know, a new audio interface and, you know, so it's probably going to go back into the podcast anyway, you know, like that's just kind of the way it works. And if nothing else, just time wise, I mean, it's really mostly Patrick, and I always say, and I always joke around about it, but Patrick puts a lot of time into editing these things and putting them up online. And I don't think most people realize the time it takes. Let's not even count the editing, but just like getting it up onto the box.net place and then making sure you get the post and making sure it goes to iTunes. There's so much work that goes into doing that. You know, the work that I do for the show is booking people, you know, and that takes some time because sometimes I work through a publicist. So there's, you know, I spend probably a couple hours a week just emailing people and trying to get schedules thing. And I like doing it. I'm going to do it anyway, but we do put some time in it. And, you know, we just thought, you know, this kind of feels right to try to do this.
Yes.
So I
just want to, I don't think you have to qualify it anymore, John.
Yeah.
I just think that if this is something that our listeners would be willing to support us on and are interested in, then by all means, contact us via Twitter or leave a comment on the post, you know, when this goes live, and tell us, you know, if it's something, and we're just kind of feeling out the waters because we also don't want to, you know, we don't want people to think that we are, oh, what's the word? We're not expecting or anything.
No.
You know, it's like we just think this would be a nice thing to do, and we see some other podcasters out there using Patreon and getting some funding for the projects that they want to do, and we think there's some cool stuff we could do if we had the resources to do it, and so that's what we're looking at.
I think that is a excellent way to put it, and maybe a good place to finish. So go contact us. I think our emails are readily available too if you want to even emails. But go to functionalnerds.com, leave a comment on this on this particular episode. If you know, contact Patrick and I on Twitter. He's ATFMB. I'm John Anilio. If you're friends with us on Facebook, go and message us there. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll take it from there. So anyway, that was our show this week. So that's it. You know, and I think we talked about our other various projects. Is there anything, Patrick, you want to mention before we wrap it up then?
April, I'm going to do a bunch of posts. April, I'm doing Pikes Peak Writers. Kirkus is always there. SF Signal is always there. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all my stuff. How about you?
Cool. Yeah. Just go to my website and follow me on Twitter because I'm going to be continuing posting works in progress. So if that kind of thing interests you, check it out. All right, everybody. We will see you next time with a guest. And have a great week. All right. Bye.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.